Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Opening statements began this morning in New York in the first criminal trial of former President Donald Trump. He's charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records as part of an alleged scheme to hide information that could have hurt his campaign for president in 2016. Trump spoke to reporters on the way into court this morning, noting the trial's effect on his current campaign.
I'm here instead of being able to be in Pennsylvania and Georgia and lots of other places campaigning, and it's very unfair.
Prosecutors said Trump had engaged in a catch-and-kill conspiracy with his former lawyer and a tabloid publisher to cover up unflattering stories to help him defeat Hillary Clinton. On Thursday, the Supreme Court is to hear arguments in another Trump case on whether he can be prosecuted for allegedly trying to block the results of the 2020 presidential election. He claims presidential immunity. Today in the Supreme Court, justices heard arguments on whether government can fine people who camp in public parks, even if there's no place for them in homeless shelters. Legislation that could trigger a nationwide TikTok ban passed the House and now heads to the Senate. NPR's Bobby Allen reports.
House lawmakers attached a sell or be banned TikTok measure to a bill providing aid to Israel and Ukraine on Saturday. The measure heads to the Senate, where it has wide support. President Biden says he will sign it. It gives TikTok owner ByteDance up to 1 year to find a buyer or be shut down in the U.S. Lawmakers from both parties see TikTok as a national security threat, arguing that China could use the app to spy or push propaganda. There's no concrete evidence Beijing has ever done this with TikTok. The company says passing a law to put an entire social media platform out of business tramples on the free speech of 170 million Americans who use the app. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Israel's military intelligence chief is resigning amid Israel's war with Hamas. He had previously taken the blame for intelligence failures ahead of last October's deadly attack by Hamas in southern Israel. NPR's Rob Schmitz reports from Tel Aviv.
In his letter of resignation, Major General Ahoron Haliva wrote, quote, "I will forever bear the excruciating pain of war." His resignation comes months after he admitted that Israel's military intelligence directorate under his command failed to warn the public about the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel that killed more than 1,200 people, according to Israel, and resulted in around 240 Israelis taken captive. The act prompted a war that has killed more than 34,000 Palestinians in Gaza, according to the Gaza Health Ministry. Haliva is the first senior official to step down after the October 7th attack. His resignation follows the resignation in March of Brigadier General Amat Sar, former head of Israel's Military Intelligence Research Department. Rob Schmitz, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
You're listening to NPR News in Washington. All classes at Columbia University in New York are being held virtually today in advance of Passover, which begins at sundown. For days, pro-Palestinian protesters had demonstrated, demanding a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. President Biden will be marking Earth Day today with a visit to Triangle, Virginia. The White House says the president will promote his administration's American Climate Corps. NPR's Jeff Brady reports the president will also announce $7 billion worth of grants for residential rooftop solar panels in disadvantaged communities.
More than 900,000 households will get access to solar power through the program, which was funded by a climate-focused budget law passed nearly 2 years ago. Janet McCabe with the Environmental Protection Agency says this will improve air quality and save money in communities that need help the most.
This historic investment will generate more than $8 billion in savings on electric bills for the overburdened households over the entire life of the program.
Under the administration's Justice 40 initiative, 40% of climate change funding is directed to poor and marginalized communities that were historically harmed by the energy industry. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
An 11-year-old girl found some large pieces of fossilized bone when walking with her father on a beach in Somerset, England. Scientists determined they were from a marine reptile that lived 202 million years ago. Paleontologist Dean Lomax called it genuinely enormous, about the length of a blue whale. Ruby Reynolds said she was happy with the find, saying it was just sort of lying there. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Schwab, with Schwab investing themes like artificial intelligence, renewable energy, or pet passion. Over 40 themes to invest in. Learn more at Schwab.com and the Doris Duke Foundation.
Good afternoon and welcome to Noon Hour Magazine right here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. This is Heather. It is a gorgeous sunny day in our neck of the woods. 48 degrees out there right now, a whole lot better than the 24 degrees it was at our house at 6 o'clock this morning. So nice to see that temperature coming up a little more. In our local news today, we are going to hear about some changes to the bullying policy for Highland County Public Schools. And we're also going to hear about some openings for the Resource Advisory Committee in West Virginia and what kind of positions they are looking to fill for those for that particular committee. We'll have all of our usual Noon Hour features coming your way. We're going to hear a review of Nicolas Cage's latest movie, Arcadian, coming up in our movie review feature in the second half of the hour. And, of course, we'll let you know what's going on in our listening area. Let's get you going with our local news.
In the April 11th meeting of the Highland County School Board, Superintendent Dr. Drew Mayers submitted verbiage changes to the bullying, harassment, or discrimination policy, which is now up for public review on the website. The big change streamlines the reporting form for all three and makes some verbiage changes to match the student handbook. But the overall feelings surrounding bullying, harassment, and discrimination are being discussed well beyond the borders of Highland County. On the Commonwealth level, members of the General Assembly sent the governor a bill last month that would create special protections against bullying at public schools for groups that have the highest rates of victimization. The governor is amending the bill to remove the special protections that cover sexual orientation, gender identity, and disability status. Victoria Cobb at the Family Foundation says the governor's amendment makes the bill better.
So this amendment seeks to simply say that bullying is wrong and not worry about why someone is being bullied, but instead focus on the actor and the action.
But others disagree, including Delegate Joshua Cole, a Democrat from Fredericksburg who introduced the bill and says the special protected categories came right from existing state law.
That's why we included the language from the Virginia Human Rights Act, LGBTQ, people of color, people with disabilities, anything like that. We wanted to make sure they were protected. And the governor's amendment seriously waters it down.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, one out of five students between the ages of 12 and 18 is bullied every year. Of those students who are bullied, 15% are also being bullied via text messaging, email, and social media. These statistics show that approximately 46% of students who are being bullied tell their parents or teachers. Unfortunately, the same statistics show many children are reluctant to tell anyone because they are embarrassed about being bullied and they don't want to be labeled a tattletale. Additionally, many students report even if they tell their schools, nothing is done and the bullying and retaliation tends to increase instead of decrease. Highland County Public Schools did include an ask for increased funding in the upcoming budget to cover the cost of an additional counselor in the school to help combat mental health issues within the school and further support strategies that children can employ in the face of bullying and harassment. Our thanks to Virginia Public Radio for help with reporting on this story. For AMR News, I'm Britt Chambers.
The Monongahela National Forest is recruiting people who are interested in serving on the West Virginia Resource Advisory Committee, or RAC, according to a press release from the U.S. Forest Service. West Virginia RAC members recommend how the Forest Service should award Title II funds from the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act. To receive the greatest consideration, they do ask that you submit your application by June 30, 2024. 15 members are needed to fill specific committee positions. Committee members serve for 4-year terms and are selected by the Secretary of Agriculture. The committee generally meets up to 4 times a year every other year. There is no compensation for RAC service, but committee members may be reimbursed for certain travel expenses. Acting Forest Service Supervisor Tracy Calzon said, quote, "In my time on the service, I've spoken with so many West Virginians who care very deeply about how the Monongahela National Forest is managed. Becoming an RAC member is an excellent way to take an active role in that management," unquote. Members of the RAC must reside in the state of West Virginia and must represent one of the following interests as described in the Secure Rural School Act. Category A, 5 persons who represent organized labor or non-timber forest product harvester groups, developed outdoor recreation, off-highway vehicle users, or commercial recreation activities, energy and mineral development or commercial or recreational fishing interests, commercial timber industry, or hold federal grazing permits or other land use permits to represent non-industrial private forest landowners. Category B, 5 persons who represent nationally recognized environmental organizations, regionally or locally recognized environmental organizations, dispersed regional activities, archaeological or historical interests, or a nationally or regionally recognized wild horse or burro interest groups, wildlife or hunting organizations, or watershed associations. And Category C, 5 persons who hold state elected office or their designee, hold county or local elected official titles, represent American Indian tribes within or adjacent to the area for which the committee is organized, school officials or teachers, or represent the affected public at large. Once members are selected, the committee will review project proposals submitted by local communities, nonprofit organizations, state and local governments, and Forest Service staff. The committee then collaborates with Forest Service managers in developing and recommending projects that benefit national forest resources. Past Title II projects have included recreation site and trail improvements, wildlife habitat improvement, new interpretive signs, and noxious weed treatments. The Forest will seek 2024 Title II project proposals later this year. Any West Virginia resident interested in serving on the committee must complete an interest sheet and background form that will be used for a required background check. You can find a link for more information and the application forms with this story at our website, AlleghenyMountainRadio.org. For Allegheny Mountain Radio News, I'm Heather Nide.
Support for Allegheny Mountain Radio comes from the Virginia Education Association. Resources for parents and teachers at veanea.org, because a good education is good for everybody.
Friends, we have older neighbors who could use some good nutrition and kindness. Hi, this is Harmony Leonard, inviting you to join us as a Meals on Wheels volunteer. You'll be delivering hot meals, safety checks, and hope to older adults who need it most. Hours are flexible and the rewards are countless. You can make a difference today by calling 540-468-2178.
It's 15 minutes after 12 o'clock. You're listening to Noon Hour Magazine here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. 48 degrees here at the Frost Studios under cloudy skies at the moment, so sun's kind of in and out a bit. Mostly sunny skies in our forecast today. Lows, that should be highs, in the low 50s to the low 60s with light winds mostly out of the north. Clear skies tonight, lows down in the low to mid 30s with light and variable winds. Sunny once again tomorrow, highs in the 60s, light winds out of the southwest. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow night with a chance of showers after midnight, and lows in the low 40s to around 50. Variable winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly to mostly sunny on Wednesday with a chance of showers and highs in the low 50s to the low 60s. Cloudy Wednesday night in the evening, then clearing with lows in the low 30s to around 40. The Boiling Springs Rod and Gun Club is doing a prescribed burn today. Just to let you know about that, smoke could be visible in Bacova, Lake Mumaw, and the Richardson Gorge areas of Bath County. So do be aware of that. Jeanette in Bowler had a high of 52, a low of 42, 30 degrees this morning. Keith in Bluegrass, high 48, low 36, 30 degrees this morning. A peak wind gust of 19 miles per hour. Jason in Bartow, high 47, low 26, 28 this morning. And Irwin in Slaty Fork, high 48, low 36, 32 this morning. A peak wind gust of 9 miles per hour. The WVLS Community Advisory Committee will meet this afternoon, or this evening, I should say, 6 p.m. at the WVLS studio at 80 East Main Street in Monterey. The public is invited to attend. Homeschoolers will meet at the Highland County Public Library tomorrow from 12:30 to 2 p.m. for a migration study and themed activities. It's for students of all ages, but they do ask that a caregiver attend. You can get more information at programs at highlandlibrary.com. A fan favorite for after-schoolers at the Highland County Public Library tomorrow as well, the Lego Lounge is back. You can sign up to ride the bus in the Rams Review newsletter or arrive for the fun at 3:20 p.m. Parents, please plan to pick up your child by 4:15 p.m. Tomorrow is the deadline to register to vote in the May 14th primary election here in West Virginia. And the Highland County Board of Supervisors will have a public hearing tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m. in the Highland Modular Conference Center. That's for the fiscal year 25 budget. You can get more information at highlandcova.org. We have a couple of funeral notices to share with you today. Orville Harless, age 86 of Hillsboro, passed away Sunday, April 14th. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, May 11th at 1 p.m. at Trout Baptist Church in Trout, West Virginia. Again, that's Orville Harless of Hillsboro, who passed away April 14th. Online condolences may be shared at lancefuneralhome.com. Deborah Lou Roy, age 68 of Marlinton, passed away Friday, April 19th at the Pocahontas Center in Marlinton. Per her wishes, she will be cremated with no services. Again, that's Deborah Lou Roy of Marlinton, who passed away April 19th. Online condolences may be shared at lancefuneralhome.com. Thank you.
daily funeral announcements are brought to you by Oba Funeral Home. With locations in both McDowell and Warm Springs, Virginia, they have served families for over 95 years. Information and online obituaries can be found at obafuneralhome.com. They may be reached at 540-839-3451 for their Bath County location and 540-396-3451 for assistance in Highland County.
Stardate, April 22nd. Few constellations have as many backstories as Virgo, the Virgin. In ancient Greece and Rome, it was linked with several goddesses, each with her own story. In one story, she was Dike, the goddess of justice. She lived when the gods known as the Titans ruled the land. Everything was peaceful. It was always spring, and living was easy. But after Zeus and the Olympians defeated the Titans, life got much more complicated. The goddess had to work a lot harder to maintain peace. Eventually, things got so bad that she turned her back on humanity and settled among the stars. In another story, Virgo was Demeter, the goddess of agriculture and the harvest. The sun entered that region of the sky in the fall, around the time of the harvest, strengthening the connection. Virgo's brightest star is Spica, a name that means an ear of grain. It's the only truly bright star around. It's about 250 light years away and consists of two stars in a tight orbit around each other. The more massive of the two is likely to end its life as a supernova, a titanic blast fit for the early gods of ancient Greece. Spica stands just a whisker away from the full moon tonight. They're low in the southeast as twilight fades, separated by about half a degree, less than the width of a pencil held at arm's length. They arc low across the south during the night and set around dawn. Tomorrow, an early recipe for a system of planets. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Stardate comes to you on these stations with the help of the Green Bank Observatory in Green Bank, West Virginia. GBO is a facility of the National Science Foundation.
Lance Funeral Home, with locations in Buckeye and Alderson, supports programming on Allegheny Mountain Radio. Lance Funeral Home offers a complete range of funeral services, including monuments and pet cremation. The licensee in charge is Doug Lance, and their motto is, "Our Family Serving Your Family." More information and online condolences are available at lancefuneralhome.com. Their phone number is 304-799-4171.
This is Bird Note. Sam Ohugan is the senior scientist and cultural advisor for the Nature Conservancy of Hawaii. And he's quick to tell you about how special Hawaii's ecology is.
Hawaii is an amazing place because it's a microcosm of the world. In one limited area, you have a huge number of the major biome types of the entire globe. And you can find an environmental setting in Hawaii that can support just about every living plant species.
With invasive species and climate change, Hawaii has experienced so much loss and extinction since Western colonists arrived. But Sam, who is native Hawaiian, has done a lot of work connecting Hawaiian culture and tradition to conservation ecology.
The best managed and preserved areas on Earth that remain are ones that largely retain their indigenous relationships. It's a movement that's growing, and Hawaii is kind of leading the way in that. There is growing recognition that traditional knowledge is a vital part of long-term conservation success.
Sam hopes that one day, Hawaii can be not just a microcosm of ecology, but of conservation as well.
We get to be the example of what can happen in a place if you can work the right combination of people and the natural world. People living in a place, caring for their lands from the top of the mountains above them all the way down into the depths of the sea.
For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
On This Day is presented by the Highland Historical Society. Today is April 22nd. On this day in 1919, Otto H. Harper's barn at Forks of Water burned to the ground. The barn was valued at about $3,000.
From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio, rural and agricultural news coming up next. Today's program is made possible by Farm Credit, a nationwide financial cooperative serving agriculture and rural America since 1916. Farm Credit provides loans for farms, homes, land, and agribusiness, coverage in every county in all 50 states. It also includes an educational component called Farm Credit Knowledge Center. Information at farmcredit.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 456965.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Today is Earth Day, and organizations all around our region are promoting regenerative agriculture, natural farming techniques to improve the environment, and soil health. Mary Sketch Bryant is with the Virginia Soil Health Coalition and says her organization promotes four core principles of soil health, which include
keep the soil covered, minimize soil disturbance, maximize living roots, and energize with diversity.
Mary Sketch Bryant with the Virginia Soil Health Coalition, their website at forthesoil.org.
Stay tuned. Your daily pearl of wisdom is coming up next.
A bullseye rash can be the first sign of Lyme disease, but not everyone will develop the rash. If you've been in areas where Lyme disease is common and develop fever, fatigue, facial paralysis, or joint and muscle pain, seek medical care. Reduce your chances of getting Lyme disease by wearing insect repellent, showering soon after coming indoors, and checking for ticks daily. To learn more, visit www.cdc.gov/Lyme. A message from CDC.
Oh, just a quick interruption to say thank you for your support. On the Farm Radio is celebrating our 22nd anniversary this spring. It's our honor to serve 92 radio stations all across the eastern United States. Thank you for listening.
There's a man in our town who loves to plant and care for trees. We call him Mr. Arbor. A few years ago, we lost some of our trees in a storm. It was Mr. Arbor who organized volunteers and showed us how to care for the damaged trees and plant new ones. You can make a difference in your town, too. For your free Conservation Trees booklet, call the Arbor Day Foundation toll-free, 1-800-932-1433. Or write the Arbor Day Foundation, Nebraska City, Nebraska.
Today, we send out a big old salute to all of our listeners in State College, Pennsylvania. They're tuned into affiliated radio station WBLF, AM 970 in State College, Pennsylvania. Our pearl of wisdom today from listener Penny Keplinger in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Penny says, don't spend too much time chasing the storm so you can learn how to dance in the rain. Thank you, Penny, for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.
We thank Covington Honda Nissan for their support. Located on Route 220 north of Covington, they stock a full line of new and used Honda and Nissan cars and trucks and provide full-service auto repair 5 days a week. Sales hours are Monday through Friday from 8 to 6 and Saturday from 8 to 4. Their number is 800-234-7853.
Support for Allegheny Mountain Radio comes from Heiner's Auto Service and Repair of Monterey. They offer exhaust pipe bending, computer diagnostic scanning, and perform new car maintenance schedules. Hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturday by appointment. Their phone number is 540-468-2329.
Now the latest from VNN, the Virginia News Network.
The Virginia State Police are warning of a new scam targeting sex offenders.
The agency posted a notice about the scam on social media on Saturday. According to the post, the scammers contact sex offenders and identify themselves as members of law enforcement. They make threats and demand immediate payment of large amounts of cash using a digital transfer or gift card. The state police say real law enforcement officers will never demand any type of payment on the phone and that anyone contacted should immediately hang up and call the police. I'm Richard Stelling.
Starting July 1st, all Virginia drivers will be required to have vehicle insurance, ending the Uninsured Motorist Fund. Sponsored by former Virginia Senator Frank Ruff, the change will mandate drivers to purchase and provide proof of insurance. Failure to submit insurance information within 30 days will result in license suspension. Minimum liability limits in Virginia will increase starting January 1st of next year. What started as a joke is now a road race tradition in Richmond. The 25th annual UCRIP's Monument Avenue 10K was held Saturday. About 24,000 people took part, including Red Payton. He has run the race for the last 9 years while holding a tuba. Payton says it started as a joke to challenge himself, but after the first time, it quickly became his favorite day of the year. He tells 12 on Your Side the race is kind of like a 6-mile-long block party, and he loves everybody's energy because it keeps him going. NASA says April's full moon and the Lyrids meteor shower will both happen this week. The April full moon is also known as the pink moon and will peak on Tuesday. The Lyrids meteor shower will peak today. NASA says the moon may outshine the meteor shower, so for best viewing, get away from the city lights and look up. I'm Rebecca Hughes.
This is VNN, the Virginia News Network.
27 minutes before 1 o'clock, you're listening to Noon Hour Magazine here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. Let's give you an update on our spring fundraiser. As of today at 11 a.m., we have raised $26,950. And it's going towards our goal of $40,000 for our spring fundraiser. So we want to say a big thank you to everyone who has called in and contributed and mailed in donations to help us reach this goal. We appreciate it very much, and absolutely, it's not too late. You could still get in on the fun of Spring 2024 fundraiser by giving us a call at 1-800-297-2346 or 304-799-6004, and we thank you very, very much. Warrior Girls Softball versus the Bath County Chargers today at home at Pocahontas County High School at 5 p.m. The boys' varsity baseball team will also take on the varsity Bath County Chargers today at 5 p.m. also at home at Pocahontas County High School. Highland Rams and Lady Rams varsity track teams will participate in a meet at Richwood. That's coming up tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. And then Warrior Girls Softball and Boys Baseball teams will take on the Tigers Valley Bulldogs. That's coming up tomorrow, both games at 6 p.m. at Tigers Valley.
I wanna wish you a happy birthday. I wanna help you celebrate. I wanna wish you lots of presents.
We don't have any local birthdays on our list today. Other notable birthdays for today include the Prophet Muhammad, the founder of Islam, physicist Robert Oppenheimer, father of the atomic bomb, actor Eddie Albert from Green Acres, singer Glenn Campbell, actor Jack Nicholson from The Shining and many other wonderful roles, film director John Waters, probably best known for his movie Hairspray, and guitarist and vocalist Peter Frampton.
You are grooving on the sound beat. The scene, a dimly lit jazz club. A lone spotlight illuminates the musicians, plying their trade amidst billowing plumes of smoke. Cigarette smoke, you'd assume. Unless you were Harry Anslinger. Anslinger was appointed the Commissioner of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics in 1937. Policy-wise, think the McCarthy of marijuana. His target? International kingpins? Schoolyard pushers? No. Musicians, he told the Senate Committee in 1948, and not good musicians, jazz musicians. He could have used a softer PR tactic, but come on, the jazz songbook is full of lightly veiled references to marijuana, from Stuff Smith's If You're a Viper to Louis Armstrong's Muggles.
and some songs made no attempt at pretense. You've been listening to Dizzy Gillespie, Charlie Parker, and others with 1945's Groovin' High. Check out our free podcast at the iTunes Store or at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Library. I'm Brett Barry.
The Pocahontas County Opera House is a supporter of Allegheny Mountain Radio, a 250-seat historic theater located in Marlinton, West Virginia. The Pocahontas County Opera House Foundation presents an annual performance series of both local and international musicians, theater groups, and other performers. More information is available at PocahontasOperaHouse.org.
Support for Allegheny Mountain Radio comes from the Pocahontas County Convention and Visitors Bureau. The PCCVB welcomes visitors to Pocahontas County. For information, 304-799-INFO or 800-336-7009. Pocahontas County, Nature's Mountain Playground.
At the movies this week, we'll discover a father protecting his sons from the things that lurk in the darkness. Thanks for joining me for another Real Discovery. I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Movie families have taught us that dads will stop at nothing to protect their children. That's definitely the case in the thriller Arcadian, which follows a father's quest to keep his kids safe from a vicious enemy that only comes out at night. Arcadian stars Nicolas Cage as a father who spent the last 15 years protecting his twin sons following the destruction of the world as we know it. Now, Joseph, played by Jaden Martell, spends his days thinking and tinkering, while Thomas, played by Maxwell Jenkins, helps out a neighboring family while visiting their teenage daughter. At night, they close themselves in to protect themselves from the monsters lurking outside. But when Thomas doesn't come home one night, and his dad goes out to find him, it unleashes a new danger. Though we don't learn a whole lot about what happened to the world and why, it's clear that the remaining families have figured out how to adapt. But when the patterns start to change, it puts the survivors' lives in danger. Nicolas Cage tends to shine in over-the-top roles, and this post-apocalyptic thriller seems like a great way to showcase his unique abilities. But while he does get a few brief moments to shine, he's definitely underused, generally playing it straight as the overprotective father whose strict rules have kept the trio safe. Really, the focus is more on the two boys, on their different personalities and priorities, and how they come together when it really matters. As the family takes on one challenge after another, the action and tension build into something explosive as they're forced to battle an army of strange and disturbing monsters. It's definitely a stressful and sometimes nightmare-inducing thriller, but it also feels like it's just the beginning for these characters. But is it worth joining the fight with his family? It could be. Though it doesn't take full advantage of its talented star, Arcadian is an often gripping post-apocalyptic monster movie. It probably won't be a movie that you put in regular viewing rotation, but if you love creature films, it's worth checking out. It gets a B-. And finally this week, our real quick discovery. Arcadian was written by Nicolas Cage's agent, manager, and co-producer, Michael Nylon. He also wrote 2018's Braven, which starred Jason Momoa as another father fighting for his family. Well, that's it for another Real Discovery. For more reviews and updates on the latest films, including journalists traveling together through a war-torn country in civil war, visit realdiscovery.org and nightsandweekends.com. Until next week, take some time to catch a movie or two. You never know what you might discover.
Allegheny Mountain Radio is supported by Bark Electric Cooperative. Headquartered in Millboro, Virginia, they now offer high-speed internet and telephone in Hot Springs and Warm Springs through Bark Connects. They can be reached at 1-800-846-2272 or online at barcconnects.net and on their Facebook or Instagram pages.
Support for Allegheny Mountain Radio comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Here's today's edition of Health in a Heartbeat. This might be something to keep from your significant other. Two in five Americans believe their mom would take better care of them when they're sick than their spouse or partner. Perhaps it has something to do with nostalgia for a childhood when mom's chicken soup warmed the belly. Or maybe a spouse's chicken soup is just blah. Or do moms simply work harder at it? Remember, everybody, this is not a competition. A survey of 2,000 working adults by the market research firm OnePoll found that men are a little more likely to believe moms offer better care than women. 43% of men believe so, compared with 35% of women. The poll also found that most women want to be left alone when they're sick, men a little less so. In fact, when it comes to a sick day, males are more likely to want to share it with the world. They more commonly post selfies on social media when fighting a cold than their better halves. The most significant differences between the sexes are seen in how well they think they handle being sick. 8 out of 10 women believe they handle it better than males. Men who were polled kind of shrugged their shoulders and acknowledged the point. 7 out of 10 of them concede as much. One survey question reveals a problematic aspect of American work culture. About half of those polled note that they work through sickness. The survey was also conducted on behalf of the telehealth provider MD Live. The company notes the survey indicates most of us don't think it's worth the bother to visit a doctor's office when we're feeling unwell. We're apparently too busy visiting our moms. Health in a Heartbeat is produced by University of Florida Health, committed to advancing excellence in patient care, research, and education, and by WUFTFM. Our medical advisors include University of Florida College of Medicine faculty members who provide the latest information in health research and patient care. Visit us at heartbeatradio.org.
Rising fossil fuel emissions. I'm Randy Simon, and this is Earthwise, a look at our changing environment. Almost every nation in the world has pledged to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. There's expanding use of renewable energy sources and growing numbers of electric cars. But despite all this, carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels rose again in 2023, reaching record levels. The world's population continues to grow, and nations with large, rapidly growing populations are becoming increasingly industrialized and are embracing more and more of the trappings of modern life. As a result, the global burning of oil, coal, and natural gas is increasing. Analysis of 2023 data shows that emissions from fossil fuels rose 1.1% compared to 2022 levels. The total fossil fuel emissions in 2023 was 40 billion tons of carbon dioxide. Clearly, the world continues to head in the wrong direction in order to limit global warming. The concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has increased from about 278 parts per million in 1750, considered to be the start of the industrial era, to 420 parts per million in 2023. The rise in heat-trapping carbon dioxide, along with other greenhouse gases, such as methane, is the primary reason that the planet's temperature is continuing to rise. The average global surface temperature in 2023 was 1.2 degrees Celsius, or 2.1 degrees Fahrenheit, higher than it was in the NASA baseline period of 1951 to 1980. Last year was the hottest year on record. Unfortunately, the rise in global ocean temperature was even larger, compounding the effects of global warming. Earthwise is a production of WAMC. Find us on social media at WAMC Radio and listen anytime at WAMCpodcasts.org.
It's 15 minutes before 1 o'clock. Sunny skies in our forecast today. Highs in the low 50s to the low 60s with light winds mostly out of the north. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the low to mid-30s with light and variable winds. Sunny tomorrow, highs in the 60s, light winds out of the southwest. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow night with a chance of showers after midnight and lows in the low 40s to around 50. Variable winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly to mostly sunny on Wednesday with a chance of showers and highs in the low 50s to the low 60s. Cloudy Wednesday evening in the and then clearing overnight with lows in the low 30s to around 40. It's 49 degrees here at the Frost Studios under sunny skies. We're going to have another listen to our local news.
In the April 11th meeting of the Highland County School Board, Superintendent Dr. Drew Mayer submitted verbiage changes to the bullying, harassment, or discrimination policy, which is now up for public review on the website. The big change streamlines the reporting form for all three and makes some verbiage changes to match the student handbook. But the overall feelings surrounding bullying, harassment, and discrimination are being discussed well beyond the borders of Highland County. On the Commonwealth level, members of the General Assembly sent the governor a bill last month that would create special protections against bullying at public schools for groups that have the highest rates of victimization. The governor is amending the bill to remove the special protections that cover sexual orientation, gender identity, and disability status. Victoria Cobb at the Family Foundation says the governor's amendment makes the bill better.
So this amendment seeks to simply say that bullying is wrong and not worry about why someone is being bullied, but instead focus on the actor and the action.
But others disagree, including Delegate Joshua Cole, a Democrat from Fredericksburg who introduced the bill and says the special protected categories came right from existing state law.
That's why we included the language from the Virginia Human Rights Act, LGBTQ, people of color, people with disabilities, anything like that. We wanted to make sure they were protected. And the governor's amendment seriously waters it down.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, one out of five students between the ages of 12 and 18 is bullied every year. Of those students who are bullied, 15% are also being bullied via text messaging, email, and social media. These statistics show that approximately 46% of students who are being bullied tell their parents or teachers. Unfortunately, the same statistics show many children are reluctant to tell anyone because they are embarrassed about being bullied and they don't want to be labeled a tattletale. Additionally, many students report even if they tell their schools, nothing is done and the bullying and retaliation tends to increase instead of decrease. Highland County Public Schools did include an ask for increased funding in the upcoming budget to cover the cost of an additional counselor in the school to help combat mental health issues within the school and further support strategies that children can employ in the face of bullying and harassment. Our thanks to Virginia Public Radio for help with reporting on this story. For AMR News, I'm Britt Chambers.
The Monongahela National Forest is recruiting people who are interested in serving on the West Virginia Resource Advisory Committee, or RAC, according to a press release from the U.S. Forest Service. West Virginia RAC members recommend how the Forest Service should award Title II funds from the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act. To receive the greatest consideration, they do ask that you submit your application by June 30, 2024. 15 members are needed to fill specific committee positions. Committee members serve for 4-year terms and are selected by the Secretary of Agriculture. The committee generally meets up to 4 times a year every other year. There is no compensation for RAC service, but committee members may be reimbursed for certain travel expenses. Acting Forest Service Supervisor Tracy Calzon said, quote, "In my time on the service, I've spoken with so many West Virginians who care very deeply about how the Monongahela National Forest is managed. Becoming an RAC member is an excellent way to take an active role in that management," unquote. Members of the RAC must reside in the state of West Virginia and must represent one of the following interests as described in the Secure Rural School Act. Category A, 5 persons who represent organized labor or non-timber forest product harvester groups, developed outdoor recreation, off-highway vehicle users, or commercial recreation activities, energy and mineral development or commercial or recreational fishing interests, commercial timber industry, or hold federal grazing permits or other land use permits to represent non-industrial private forest landowners. Category B, five persons who represent nationally recognized environmental organizations, regionally or locally recognized environmental organizations, dispersed regional activities, archaeological or historical interests, or a nationally or regionally recognized wild horse or burro interest groups, wildlife or hunting organizations, or watershed associations. And Category C, five persons who hold state elected office or their designee, hold county or local elected official titles, represent American Indian tribes within or adjacent to the area for which the committee is organized, school officials or teachers, or represent the affected public at large. Once members are selected, the committee will review project proposals submitted by local communities, nonprofit organizations, state and local governments, and Forest Service staff. The committee then collaborates with Forest Service managers in developing and recommending projects that benefit national forest resources. Past Title II projects have included recreation site and trail improvements, wildlife habitat improvement, new interpretive signs, and noxious weed treatments. The Forest will seek 2024 Title II project proposals later this year. Any West Virginia resident interested in serving on the committee must complete an interest sheet and background form that will be used for a required background check. You can find a link for more information and the application forms with this story at our website, AlleghenyMountainRadio.org. For Allegheny Mountain Radio News, I'm Heather Nide. Just a reminder, the Bowling Springs Rod and Gun Club is doing a prescribed burn today. Smoke could be visible in Bacova, Lake Mumaw, and the Richardson Gorge areas of Bath County. Pocahontas County Vietnam Veterans of America will hold a meeting at the McClintock Library on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pocahontas County Solid Waste Authority regular meeting coming up Wednesday evening as well. That's at 7 p.m. at the courthouse in Marlinton. And the Board of Zoning Appeals meeting is scheduled for Thursday at 5:30 p.m. in the Highland County Modular Conference Center. That's located at 89 Highland Drive in Monterey. We've got West Virginia Metro News coming up here very shortly, and then we'll be wrapping up Noon Hour Magazine. And then we've got the Opera House Radio Hour coming your way at 1 o'clock today with your host, Bryn.
West Virginia Metro News, I'm Chris Lawrence. Fayette County Prosecutor Anthony Siliberti says a man convicted of killing his daughter and son-in-law in bed 2 years ago went on a verbal tirade during his sentence today in court. Siliberti says Carl Cox showed no remorse in the deaths of 38-year-old Rhonda Cox and 34-year-old Jimmy Neal.
None whatsoever. In fact, he threatened to kill me during the sentencing hearing if he ever got out. So apparently it's my fault that he's where he is.
Cox told someone while in jail he had killed the pair because of a long-time incestual relationship with the daughter that was going to be revealed. He was sentenced today with two life prison terms to be served consecutively and will have a chance for parole in 30 years. Three people are dead and one is receiving treatment from a gunshot wound after a weekend domestic incident in Weirton. Police Chief Charlie Cush says it happened at a home on Miami Street early Saturday morning. Two women were murdered, a third was wounded, and the alleged shooter took his own life. Cush says they really don't know what caused it.
We don't have a positive motive at this moment. We're still talking to family. Still talking to friends. We hope to get a better statement from the female who was transported to the Pittsburgh hospital.
The mother of the two victims was asleep upstairs along with four children in the home, but none of them was hurt. In Morgantown, a confirmed case of the measles. WVU Medicine reporting a patient who was tested last week was confirmed positive today and is recovering at home. You're listening to Metro News, the voice of West Virginia.
Are you a military veteran? Do you need a computer refresher course? Do you need help with finding resources to attend college or trade school? Veterans Upward Bound can help with refresher courses, and tutoring services, obtaining military transcripts, understanding GI Bill benefits, school and programs of study, admission and enrollment process, financial aid process, and time-saving links to veteran agencies. Veterans Upward Bound representatives are available to meet with you at a nearby convention. For more information, please visit the website at vubwv.org. All services and materials provided at no cost to program participants. Veterans Upward Bound is 100% federally funded by the U.S. Department of Education.
No lunch today and no dinner this evening at the Tidewater Grill or the Chop House at the Charleston Town Center Mall, both closed over the weekend. Tidewater had been in business for 39 years, the Chop House for 22. Former Charleston Mayor Danny Jones remembers the Tidewater opening in 1983.
It was a very exciting place, and they had a lot of good business. You had to get there early to get a table. And I think this is all very sad.
Other Charleston area restaurants have reached out to the employees, offering them jobs. From the Metro News Anchor Desk, I am Chris Lawrence.
Windy Cove Presbyterian Church kicks off their 275th anniversary celebration this coming Friday. That's at 6:30 p.m. at the church with a piano viola concert featuring musicians from Garth Newell Music Center. Everyone is welcome and a reception will follow. The Great Greenbrier River Race is coming up Saturday. It begins at 11 a.m. on Main Street in Marlinton. An intro to birding walk is at the Greenbank Library Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. Binoculars are limited, so if you have your own pair, please bring them if you can. More information or to register, 304-456-4507. Rain date is May 4th. And the Highlands Community Orchestra will present their spring concert this Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Highlands Center in Monterey. Everyone is welcome. You've been listening to Noon Hour Magazine here on Allegheny Mountain Radio, WVMR Frost, West Virginia, WVLS Monterey, Virginia, WCHG Hot Springs, Virginia, WVMR-FM Hillsboro, West Virginia, WNMP Marlinton, West Virginia, WDMT Marlinton, West Virginia, W278AL Durban, West Virginia, and online at AlleghenyMountainRadio.org.